take NRS for our candidates?
We got like 30 pages.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll point them out. These two right here.
Okay.
Kira, Jordan, and then, where's my fifth? She's right behind the pillow.
Okay, so, perfect.
Yep.
I'll have them sign it after they give their presentation or whatnot.
Hello, beautiful secretaries.
Hello.
Hello.
So excited.
Again.
<Yay. laughs> Well, I mean, we got one more meeting.
We're chilling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be chilling. Fine.
We're so close.
I just regarded Luis and I'm just trying to have either of the next week or
yes, yes, that's what you told me. I mean, we're hoping, right?
I want a few ones,
though. It's not a bad idea.
I call the 94th Senate of the Associated Students to order here in the Reed Aladdin Senate Chambers at 5:31 p.m. and on Zoom. Moving on to agenda item 2, compliance with Nevada open meeting law. Was the agenda posted 3 working days by 9 a.m., not including the meeting date? Yes, it was. Is the meeting taking place on the day of the week, month, day, year, and the time and location listed on the agenda? Yes, it is. Is the Zoom link working and available to the public? Yes, it is. Moving on to agenda item 3, Pledge of Allegiance and Land Acknowledgement. Please stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please remain standing for the land acknowledgement. We acknowledge that the University of Nevada, Reno, is situated on the traditional homelands of the Northern Paiute, Washoe, Western Shoshone, and Southern Paiute peoples. These lands continue to be a gathering place for indigenous peoples, and we recognize their deep connections to these places. We extend our appreciation for the opportunity to live and learn on their territory. You may now be seated. Moving down to agenda item 4, roll call. The secretary will now call the roll.
Senator Anderson?
Present.
Senator Barris?
Present.
Senator Benavente?
Party excused.
Senator Kane?
Present.
Senator Castro?
Present.
Senator Espinosa?
Present.
Senator Speaker Pro Tempore Evans?
Present.
Senator Horst?
Present.
Senator Horvath?
Present.
Senator Issa?
Present.
Speaker Issa?
Present.
Senator Johnson?
Present.
Senator Lawson?
Present.
Senator Newbell?
Present.
Senator Potter?
Present.
Senator Price?
Present.
Senator Radke? Senator Rivers?
Present.
Senator Saporito?
Present.
Senator Churchill?
Present.
Parliamentarian Strabala?
Present.
Senator Shrunk?
Present.
Senator Wilbur?
Present.
Senator Williams?
Present.
Senator Wilson?
Absence excused.
Senator Zuniga?
Present.
A quorum is present.
Moving down to agenda item 6. Before we move into public comment, I would like to acknowledge the presence of the University Police Department Northern Command. I want to formally express that UPDNC supports freedom of speech and is present to help ensure decorum and the orderly conduct of this meeting, not to limit, discourage, or intimidate any student or member of the public from exercising their rights. The ASUN Senate remains committed to fostering an open forum where individuals may speak freely, respectfully, and be heard. With that acknowledgement, we'll now be opening the meeting to public comments. Is there any public comment at this time? Please state your position for the record.
Hello, Senator. This is Chief Justice Sandera for the record. I am here to read out loud the resignation letter for Associate Justice Papa Caballero. Oh, my gosh, I don't know why I'm out of breath. She says, "Hi, Senators. In this formal letter of resignation for my position of Associate Justice on the Judicial Council of ASUN, I'd like to express my gratitude for the opportunity to work alongside you all. Though my 2-year term is up, I am grateful for the experience and friends I made on the council. I know that my fellow council members will do a great job, and I'm excited to hear about what amazing things they and new members will do in the years to come. Thank you all for 2 great sessions at ASUN."
Is there any other public comment at this time?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please state your name and position for the record.
Hello, everybody. My name is Sephora Lee. I'm a graduating senior as well as the Director of Sustainability for the past two sessions, though tonight you will be hearing from my Assistant Director, Kendra Cook, who has been appointed to take over the position. I have known and worked with Kendra for the past 2 years, and with her initially as my intern and then my Assistant Director. During her time in ASUN, she has shown direction, initiative, and has a core understanding of the vision that we have cultivated for the department, which is passion. Throughout this year alone, Kendra has planned and executed monthly events. monthly events, created community and internal relationships, which has taken the department to reflect that which is in her. Without her assistance over this past year, I truly would not have been able to complete as much as we did. We both envision this department to be at a point where students are aware of us and know that they will be able to receive volunteering and grant opportunities, which I know will continue and widen as Kendra comes into this role. She's incredibly organized and has ongoing initiatives that will only serve the student body. I am and have always been proud to work with her, and I know that many of you will too. She is the perfect appointee and an even greater person. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment at this time? Seeing no more public comments, moving down to agenda item 8, reports of ASUN officers, beginning with President Moss.
All righty. All right. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're having an amazing week so far. I have kind of a shorter report tonight, so just a quick outline of what's been happening since I saw you all last Wednesday. We are still conducting a few interviews for a few positions within the President's Cabinet. We should be placing the directors of IDEA and clubs and organizations on the agenda for the Senate next week, completing the President's Cabinet for the 94th session, so very exciting. Throughout the week, I've also been attending meetings and interviews for a new position in the Division of Student Services, the Director of Finance. This was just created for this year, so very exciting. I'm excited to see where the leadership of the division will take this role, as we have two amazing candidates that I've had the opportunity to meet with and talk with. I also attended today's interview with Speaker Issa, so that was very exciting. I also attended a meeting with Ashley Salisbury, the Director of Student Affairs for the Nevada System of Higher Education, to do an introductory meeting regarding the Nevada Student Alliance, which is the in-chief board of all of our student body presidents from each higher education institution in Nevada. I'm very excited for the work that we're going to be doing with NSA this semester and this year, and very excited as well since it's a Ledge session year, and NSA will be tackling some of those issues as well as we head towards the legislative session. And Vice President Calderon and I also had the great opportunity to attend and present at the Nevada Athletics Wolfies Awards, an award show highlighting the amazing achievements of our student athletes. I'll let Vice President Calderon go a little more in depth on that. I also attended a meeting of the AI Task Force today, where we discussed the direction the university wants to take AI in higher education and how that will impact us as students, so very good conversations happening there. You'll probably hear from some of our directors tonight, but they are focused on hiring their departments and getting their departments ready for the 94th session, so we're excited for that. You'll probably see some presentations in regards to ADs very soon, and also see some subsidiary positions on consent agenda as well. Very excited for how the executive branch is shaping up so far, and we'll be continuously having meetings in the coming weeks, getting everything ready for retreat and the summer ahead. So, very excited. If you have any questions, please let me know.
Does anyone have any questions for President Moss at this time?
Thank you.
Vice President Calderon, do you have a report?
Yes. Good evening, Senators. I hope you guys are all having a great Wednesday. This Monday, President Moss and I had the opportunity to attend the Wolfies, where we presented both the male and female scholar athletes of the year. If you guys don't know what the Wolfies are, it's basically Grammys for athletics. It was a great opportunity, a lot of fun. We got to network a bunch. Shout out to Elise for coming out there with us, too. It was an awesome opportunity to continue to strengthen that relationship with athletics and just meet more of the athletes, kind of talk to them about what we plan to do for them throughout the year. And great opportunity. I'm excited to let all of you know that I began the process of searching for artists for the Welcome Week concert. I've already received a list of over 200 possible artists in both the rap/pop and house/EDM genre. I'm going to continue our search for the best possible artist that is going to be both available on August 28th and fit within our budget. So I'll keep all of you guys updated on that. Tomorrow morning, I'm meeting with Jeff Soji, the Director of Fan Engagement at Toughletics, to discuss possibly hosting the welcoming concert in Lawler, as well as discussing a possible partner company on the concert. Apparently, Athletics has a company that may want to put some money in to help us out, so that will both help us get a possibly bigger known or like more well-known artist, as well as venue cost and security and all that. So I'm going to meet with him tomorrow, and I'll report back to you guys on that. And my random fun fact of the day is that kangaroos cannot walk backwards. Thank you.
Chief Justice Emma Solera, do you have a report?
I love to yap, of course I have a report, guys. Okay. Good evening, this is Chief Justice Solera for the record. I wanted to firstly start my report by acknowledging that today is Denim Day in support of sexual assault survivors. I think it's very important we not only wear denim, but talk about the issue that impacts the vast majority of our students. I encourage you all to follow Nevada Cares on social media and consider joining our Pactivist Club here on campus, which is a student-led club that advocates for students. With that, my report is pretty short today, as this was my first week getting into the job. I just got back from an interview, which went really well, so I'm going to be submitting my nominees for Associate Justices pretty soon on a rolling basis as they start applying. That's pretty much it. I am trying to start more programs for our justices, and I want to have office, quote-unquote office hours. I am going to be more constantly in the office, and if you guys see my door open, you guys are more than welcome to just come in and chat. I am working on getting a couch for the office, so that'll be coming soon. And yeah, do you guys have any questions for me? Beautiful.
Moving down to Director of Programming, Antonio Munoz, give a report.
Director Munoz for the record. Thank you everyone for having me here today. I have very little to report at this time. I have begun the 94th session with the Little Spring Thing at the Programming Office to help organize the space and prepare for the upcoming year. Additionally, I have started conducting interviews with my programming board, and I have actively been reaching out to students to encourage applications and involvement within the department. I am excited to continue building a strong and engaged team for the year ahead. Don't hesitate to reach out to me, stop by, say hello. I am usually around in the office or on campus. I am very nice to talk to, I believe, so they say. So come by, say hello to programming. I'm not gonna bite you. So that is it. Thank you, guys.
Does anyone have any questions for Director Munoz at this time? President Moss's Director Hatchett report?
No, just hiring her department at this time, conducting interviews.
Okay. Moving on to Director of Ethics and Compliance, Andy Sanchez.
No report.
Moving down to myself. Good evening, everyone. I'd like to begin with a few updates regarding Senate operations and expectations moving forward. So first of all, last week I began our first period of one-on-one check-ins with each senator. These meetings are an important opportunity for us to connect, discuss your goals, and ensure that you have the support that you need to be successful this session. If you have not yet scheduled a one-on-one with me, please do so as soon as possible. At this time, the following senators have not yet scheduled a meeting with me: Barris, Castro, Espinoza, Evans, Horst, Lawson, Potter, Price, Rivers, Strabala, Strunk, Wilson, and Zuniga. I look forward to meeting with each of you soon. And second, this is a reminder that our first outreach period is due next week on May 6th, dead day. It's been brought to my attention that to our returning senators do not yet have our new senators do not yet have access to the Nevada box. And I'm currently working with Associate Director Aguilar Herrera to resolve this issue as quickly as possible. In the meantime, please use the updated links that I have shared in the Teams chat to access both the outreach form and the legislation tracker. And third, I'd like to talk about today's agenda a little bit. So we are honored to have two faculty presentations this evening, and I ask that all senators remain attentive, engaged, and respectful throughout these presentations. Our guests have taken the time out of their schedules to be here with us, and it is important that we extend the highest level of professionalism and courtesy to them. Please feel free to ask any thoughtful and respectful questions where appropriate. And next, we'll be meeting again next week on Dead Day, and I understand that this may be a challenging time for some of you due to finals and studying. However, we do have important business to complete, including the confirmation of two more cabinet nominees. At this time, I do not anticipate that meeting being lengthy in any way, so if you foresee any issues with attendance, please reach out to me following tonight's meeting. Additionally, we'll be suspending the rules of the Senate at our next meeting to allow for flexibility with meeting dates and outreach requirements. Even after we suspend the rules, we will continue to meet weekly until all assistant directors, commissioners, and programmers are confirmed. Following these confirmations, we will transition to a bi-weekly meeting schedule. Any outreach conducted over the summer will count towards the first outreach period of the fall 2026 semester. And finally, committee chairs, please schedule committee meetings at your earliest convenience, especially for committees with liaison contacts, because it is important that members are assigned and that those liaison contacts are established as soon as possible so that committees can begin their work early, build strong relationships with campus and community partners, and ensure that all responsibilities and expectations are met in a timely and effective manner. That concludes my report. Are there any questions for me at this time? Ooh. Seeing no questions, we'll be moving down to agenda item 19A, Senate presentation for PAC Life. I'll get that presentation up right now.
Good afternoon, Dean Kennedy, he and his pronouns, Executive Director for Residential Life, Housing, and Food Services.
Perfect. Okay, so I want to do a quick thing. Raise your hand if you've ever had to submit a form in PAC Life, submit an event, update a roster, join a club, look at an announcement. Okay, probably almost all of you, especially if you were elected, you probably put something in there. Now raise your hand if you encountered a challenge with that. So you had a problem. Okay, yep, yeah, pretty quickly up, right? So there have been a lot of challenges that have arisen with using PAC Life that have led the Division of Student Services to decide to go in a different direction. So some of those issues are, you know, inaccessibility of information, it being challenging to find information on there. Even when I came for my first interview here, trying to search in PAC Life to figure out what events were happening, what clubs were on campus, it can be a little bit challenging. The event forms are a little bit long, right? We've heard pretty much every comment, complaint, piece of feedback about the system, right? But we have to have a system. We have to have something on campus that our campus partners can look at, that we can look at to review events, ensure you're complying with policy, ensure that you all are safely having your events, and that you all have all the information and resources you need. So with that, we went through a process of searching for a new system, taking the feedback from students, from campus partners, community partners, about the use of the system, use that to fuel what we want in a new system, and we have selected a new system that we're gonna move forward with starting this fall. So that system is called Lounge, which we're gonna talk a little bit more about today. So Lounge is basically going to be our hub for engagement. So we're gonna go through today a little bit of the differences between PAC Life, Lounge, why we specifically selected it, but we think of it as not just replacing PAC Life, but basically as a whole new system, a whole new program that is gonna bring engagement to life on campus. So for students going through orientation, they're gonna be able to find all of their sessions in their Lounge app. For students that are wanting to attend events, they're gonna be able to go into the app and purchase tickets and scan QR codes and get information. It's going to be our new hub of information that's also going to be used for efficiency and making the process for students to get engaged and to engage other students. students a lot smoother, quicker, and more efficient.
So the what you see on the screen is just some brief glimpses of what the platform looks like. So you'll be able to have a university dashboard. It works on your phone and a desktop. So with the phone is an actual app, so as opposed to going to a website, which is PacLife, but miserable. So the app and the desktop sync. So as long as you're logged into both, you can basically do whatever you need to do in Lounge with that. The mobile app, we're finding out if it can work offline. Like sometimes there's large events with a lot of people and the Wi-Fi may not work. But from what we understand, we believe the app will work even if in those kind of dead zone spaces, and then it updates as soon as it regains service. And the biggest reason, from my perspective, having talked with like all of the vendors over the past 9 months, we entertained 13 different vendors from around the world, some offering customizable solutions. What became clear for this university, for our students, graduate and undergraduate, is something that is customizable. So it requires a lot of work on the front end, and Matty is putting a lot of time and effort into that. But it's a customizable solution that supports like our students at this university for the things that we want to do, while making lives for students and staff members that are processing like requests, like event workflows, that kind of thing, making it as easy as possible. There's still processes, we still have policies to follow, but we really believe that this system, because it's so customizable, is the best solution for us. So Maddie mentioned some of the big things between PacLife and Lounge. So having been here for 6 years, PacLife pretty much sucked at life. So Maddie mentioned some of the things that were painful about it. For this space, we want to really focus on like Lounge. So what Lounge can do over time, this is not something that can happen immediately. For those of you that are software programmers, you know this takes some time. But Lounge has the ability to integrate with a lot of systems on campus. So Workday, Canvas, Navigate, Slate for prospective students, the university events calendar on the website. Obviously, it's going to take some time to figure out what those integrations can look like. But this system has the ability to do that. The Lounge's communities are able to connect with each other. So as students, undergraduate and graduate, are in the Lounge system, you have the ability to set permission levels for how much access you want other people to be able to see you, see your profile, and communicate with you. And students, staff, and faculty can connect across Lounges from like a DM perspective. So from an engagement perspective, resource perspective, we believe that this is a great system to help students feel more connected to each other, to the university, and to resources in case they need anything. Talk a little bit about the custom fields, and then the mobile and desktop version, also very excited about that. We know a lot of students like, use their phones for everything. I would say also faculty and staff. So having an app that is on the phone that is easy to navigate, something that we're really excited about.
And to add on to that with the app, one of the things that we're going to be doing with this is making it so that students can submit forms, submit purchase requests, submit event workflows through the app. So it's meant to ease the system in basically every part of operating a student organization. And so right now it's like you only can use a desktop. You can only use the web version of PacLife. With this system, you will be able to submit forms from your phone, and the ease of the forms is going to help because it's a lot less work, a lot less bulky information that's needed. This is a little bit of an overview of what it would look like in Lounge to have an event. So you can see the little phone here. This is what the event would look like. You have your cover image, your event name, how many people have RSVP'd. You can see the guest list. So. As the person who creates the event, you can also see very specific people. Right now, people can RSVP, but it won't show you the specific user. You'll be able to see the specific users, and you can contact everyone. So say it's welcome week, and it starts raining out of nowhere. Anyone who's RSVP for your event, you can go in the app, send them a message and say, hey, we're now meeting in the ballrooms. The event has been moved to the ballrooms. Every person that has the app will get that notification on their phone. That it's already been moved, right? So it's not like you have to send them an email trying trying to figure out some other way to communicate with them. You'll be able to communicate with them directly through the app, and then they'll all receive it through the app. We're also able to make customized event types. So if you ever submit an event, you know now you have to answer, is this FSL? Is this RHA? Are you having a guest speaker, right? That's going to be no more. So we're going to have a specific event form for meetings, a specific event form for tabling, right? And the questions are going to be different depending on the organization type. So fraternities and sororities don't need to answer all the same questions that general clubs need to answer. ASU and events have different questions than a club, right? And so we're going to customize all of the event workflows to those specific lounges. So ASUN will only have to answer ASUN-related event questions. Club will only have to answer club-related questions. So it allows for that customization. So we already kind of talked a little bit about the benefits, but we want to focus on the student body and then also on student organizations as kind of some of the main users of the system. So we've already talked about the mobile app that is going to help with communication, help students get connected to other students, easily be able to use a new version of EventPass that doesn't always have to be downloaded to your phone. It can be if needed, but you can just use the app to RSVP to communicate. We'll be able to integrate Nevada Fit orientation into the system, and so students will have a calendar in the system that tracks all of their events, programs. So say a student is a part of the Journalism Fit. We can assign that student, if they join the Journalism Fit Lounge, we can assign them all of the events that are in Journalism Fit, right? So they won't see any for any other Nevada Fit program. It's just customized to them. There's also going to be an improved search feature, making it easier to find specific event types. Right now, there's a million different things that you can check to find events, and it's all dependent on what the student checks. We are going to have a better system for tagging all of the events based on what they submit so that it's easier to search for that. For clubs and orgs, the goal is to have reduced time submitting forms and getting forms approved. So with this system and with specific event types, it's a lot less time for me to be reviewing events. It's a lot less time for students to be submitting them. And hopefully we'll even be able to cut down that 3 business day requirement. Because with this, it could be that we could find even 24 hours works for approving events. Like I said, customized workflows. We're going to have integration with Workday. So one of the things right now is clubs have to go to the accounting office to get their balance anytime they want to check how much money they have in their club account. The reason for that is because all of their accounts, all their purchases are reconciled in Workday. When we integrate Workday into the system, they'll be able to check their account balance from the app or from the web browser. We are creating less forms. So not a bunch of separate different accounting forms. One form that based on what you're purchasing, it will ask you those specific questions. You don't have to look between 8 different forms to try and figure out what you need to submit, because even I get confused by that. And then one of the biggest things that is a really big benefit is EMS and Fusion integration. So EMS is where you book spaces on campus. We're working on integration right now with the system where you will not have to go to EMS separately to book your space. When you start filling out your event in lounge, it will pull up EMS. If you're going to book, you know, a classroom, outdoor space, you select the space that is available, whichever space you're looking for. The space manager sees it in EMS. You don't ever have to go to that system to fill it out. And so that's one of the integrations that we'll be working on over the next few months, to just ease that process, ease the time spent going to different places to get information and complete event forms.
So from a timeline perspective, we mentioned, so we've been having this conversation really since last summer, like how does Packlight work for us? If it doesn't, like what is the system that's gonna work? So for right now, we're starting a pilot with 4 groups, on Monday. So we've selected that those students, organizations, are basically trying to break the system. Once we get feedback from those 4 groups, we're gonna be doing a second pilot that'll include fraternity sorority life, fitness and recreational sports, and GSA, so the graduate students. Same thing, that pilot trying to break the system, getting feedback from students, like what works, what doesn't work. So that will hopefully help us to make a really strong and robust program. So from there, July 1st, is kind of our goal for all club and organization clubs and organizations to be able to register in the system. So that gives us the month of June to train faculty and staff, department, coordinator, leads, so that people who are administrators in the system or have a heavier role in the system are more familiar with it. July 1st, all class organizations, individuals can register. Hopefully around July 15th, all clubs and organizations will be able to request funds, either from ASUN or GSA. And then by August 1st, all students at the university will have access to Lounge, and student leaders will know how to use Lounge. So as students are coming into the university, like, you all can help them, like, get into the app, figure out like how to use it, how to navigate it, direct message with each other. So our priority is undergraduate and graduate student clubs and organizations in the system to be able to request finances and the integration with EMS. Like, that is a huge, heavy lift on the back end to make all of that work. After that, our goal, phase two plus, is to bring in academic departments, academic and administrative departments. So, like, the Latino Research Center, the Department of Biology, Nevada Fit, Residential Life Housing, Food Services, so like administrative and academic departments, getting into the system, getting familiar with it. And we'll also start working on some of the deeper integrations. So the Workdays, Slate, physics softwares around Canvas, that kind of a thing. Because we know that like the heaviest lift is going to be getting like student clubs and organizations into the system and using it before we start.
Thank you all for listening to us. I know we're trying to get through, you know, 9 months in quick time, but we want to open up for any questions that you all have about this.
So, Churchill and Lawson.
Is it okay if I ask two now?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for your presentation. I mean, you know, I come from a clubs and orgs background myself. I've had to deal with a lot of hackling. Two questions. One being, would it be possible for us to reach out to our college and speak with them through this, like creating a sort of lounge for like the College of Business or the College of Science?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we're going to want your help with as we move into phase two with getting academic departments on board. By then, you all will have been able to test out the system and be able to talk through with them what it looks like. So I think that's really where the Senate can come in handy to advocate. To get students in there and what the benefits are
of
the department. So, yes.
Senator Lawson.
Thank you for your presentation. From my understanding, ASUN is still working on the website. Is there any plans to integrate Lounge with the new ASUN website?
I'm not sure what platform the new ASUN website is going to be on. I would probably defer to Dylan to answer about the website.
We're still in conversations about the website.
Yeah.
So right now, Lounge will exist outside of the website right now, but we're still in current conversations of what direction we'd like to take the website going forward with the redesign. So right now, Lounge will exist in the same way that PacLive exists outside of the ASUN website.
But until that transition happens, if I'm sure you looked at the ASUN website many times, there's a lot of places where PacLive is listed and linked. And so part of this process over the summer is going to be going through the entire website and redirecting all of the links and changing them all to the Lounge and redirecting to the new places where students can go.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Senator Churchill, I skipped over your second question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Senator Churchill, I was curious about the trainings you're planning to do, especially for like commissioners as well as like people in like event programming. And obviously, like, we do cabling, so I think it'd be beneficial for everyone. So I'm kind of curious about when that training comes, as well as for clubs. And if you're planning on doing something, like, over the summer, before the summer, I need, like, it, just in their Canvas course that they have to do, like, what the rollout for that is.
Yeah, great question. So June is when we hope to have all the, like, pilot testing done, all of that done. And the focus is going to be on finishing up, like, the forms, the accounting processes, all of those things. But I'm going to be working with Thaisa, who's the GSA coordinator, and we're going to be doing training with our different clubs and orgs teams in both student government. So about the funding request process, club registration process. And so June is really dedicated to that advise those groups, and so we'll be a part of training the students. And then for clubs and organizations, yes, so the development team at Lounge, we're still in discussion about how exactly we want to do it. They've offered to actually host the trainings for clubs. If we schedule them and we offer them, they have offered to do multiple virtual trainings on different parts of the system throughout the summer, and then also host like advising calls with them. They provided us with training materials, and we're going to integrate it also into the club officer training. So that's also going to be revamped once the next AD of renewals is hopefully in the next few weeks. We'll be working with them to update the training to completely be focused on Lounge and how those systems work.
Any other questions? Senator Jimona Wilbur, then Senator Price.
Senator Jimona Wilbur, for the record, I was just wondering, is Lounge as like a software, is it used by other places, or are we as the University of Nevada going to be kind of a guinea pig?
No. So we're one of the larger campuses that they work with, but actually part of our scope of work was that they had to have worked with other institutions of similar size and student similar like student body demographics. That was one of the things that we actually rated all of the platforms on. And then we also had a student representative who served on this, also reviewing them to make sure that it kind of matched with the other schools. But yeah, we would not be the first one. This is that was something that was important to us because we did get proposals from companies that this would be one of their first projects, their first school of this size, and that was not something we were comfortable with or wanting in the software.
Senator Price?
All right, Senator Price, for the record, thank you guys for presenting to us today. I really appreciated it. I just had a question in regards to accounting. I know you guys touched on like Workday and clubs being able to see their balances, but another part of accounting is like, you know, submitting those PO forms and credit card requests, which can also be really tedious as well. Do you guys plan on incorporating that into Lounge as well, or just leaving that up to accounting?
Yeah, so we're going to incorporate that into Lounge, and we've begun brainstorming how we're going to do it. You know how now, in fact, like it is a ton of different forms. When you go to the form section, there's all the GSA accounting forms, competitive club sports and clubs, CSE, ASUN forms. We're gonna have one like ASUN purchase form. And when you put in there, it'll have a question that's like, what are you purchasing? Paying for a food truck, paying for a vendor, Amazon request, we wanna buy something at a store. Based on what you select there, it will then populate those questions for you. So you don't have to figure out whether you're submitting a PO or an IPO. You're submitting one purchase form, and then when you get into it and you answer what you're trying to purchase, that will then pull up those specific questions. So that's going to be for graduate clubs and graduate student government, undergraduate clubs and undergraduate student government at ASUN, and then also for competitive club sports. So all of that will be put in the system as well. And one of the things that I'm also looking forward to is through the funding request process. Right now, the clubs have to check with their commissioner or check their budget spreadsheets to see how much funding they have left in a certain tier. With this system and the reconciliation Workday and updating in Lounge, clubs will be able to see how much of their club funding they use per request and how much is going back into that funding tier.
To add on, just from an overall infrastructures of the system, PacLife uses forms, right? You all know that, so you have to fill out individual forms. Lounge is a database where everything is an individual field. So it allows maximum flexibility for what like Maggie shared. That's helpful for as an old person. The really distinct difference between the ability to be super flexible and because they're different fields, like we can change those fields and workflows like over time. And that's based on feedback from this group, other clubs and organizations, if we need to move some things to make it more just easier, user-friendly, because they're all fields, just makes it easier.
Yeah, so you won't have to, like, when you're in the ASUN lounge and you're requesting to make a purchase for programming, you won't see the club purchase request or the competitive club support purchase request. You will just see the ASUN-related workflows. So it's not like you have to sift through a form section like we do now. It's a specific purchase workflow that is for ASUN and for clubs, like that.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Do we have any other questions at this time? Oh, Senator Churchill.
Hi, sorry, me again. For
club commissioners next year. How do you see like their workload and like being able to communicate with these clubs like going? Like, is it going to be a similar kind of process for them, or is it going to be easier? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I anticipate it'll be easier right now if club commissioners, with the way PAC is set up, we don't have a level of admin access where we can give them access to just their specific clubs. We can give them access to all clubs, but it can be kind of hard to like sift through from the registration process and the organization list. What we'll be able to do in lounge is we'll assign commissioners to specific lounges. So when clubs register under science and engineering, they're still a part of like clubs, undergraduate clubs and organizations, but then we'll have the 8 coalitions, and each commissioner will be able to see their coalition, and so they can send communication out to any group that is within their science and engineering lounge or fraternity like lounge and so on. Yeah. So I think it will help with communication. They won't have to pull like lists of people. And right now, you know, in PAC Life, you can update your email address on your profile, and it can be different than like your UNR login. How it would work for commissioners is they would actually be sending it directly to those specific people. So they wouldn't have to go find which email address to use. It's based on the profile. And so they can send messages through the app to all of their clubs, or if they wanted to pull in, send it an email, that's fine, but they'll be able to send messages through there. Did I fully answer that question? Okay, perfect.
Senator Horst?
Senator Horst, for the record, for future reference needs of access, I just wanted to ask if it was compatible with the Microsoft Calendar, because I know you said a lot of it is event-based, so I just wanted to double check.
Yeah, I think that was one of the questions I asked them initially. So one of the things that we're excited about when we get to phase two is that through the app, so like say you RSVP for events in the app, or say you're planning an event, right? So it's on your calendar in the app. With the integration of Canvas and Outlook, realistically students could use that as their main app for managing their calendar. So they can pull things from Canvas and put it in there. Also, if you have classes where you have to go attend something, there's a big project, maybe you're assigned groups in Canvas that can populate into Lounge, and same thing with your Outlook calendar.
Do you have any other questions at this time? Thank you very much. Yes. Moving down to agenda item 19B, a Senate presentation from the Office of Financial Aid and Scholarships. I'll get that ready right now.
Associate Director of the Financial Aid and Scholarships Office. I've been on this campus since 2007, believe it or not, in financial aid for 13 years. I feel right at home coming to the Senate body because I was also an aid student at one point in my life. Not as cool as you in the Senate. I was a programmer. But we do have a lot of great and unfortunate updates for you. Involving the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Raise your hand if you've heard of that act. Okay, great. This presentation is going to go over all of the things we think are most relevant to undergraduate students as far as changes to federal aid that go into effect July 1 of this year. Okay. So if you are not personally affected by it, your constituents may be affected by it. So just please take notes and then come to us if you have follow-up questions. Okay.
We're here to talk about One Big Beautiful Bill. My name is Elizabeth Rebell, and I'm an assistant director in the financial aid office. I also was an admissions counselor for the university, so I know I university since 2008. Myself as a student, and then working professionally at the university as well. So we can review a lot of experience being students ourselves, and of course now professionally. So we're gonna dive right in. So something that we do like to say when it comes to One Big Beautiful Bill is things are still in progression. We receive updates from the federal government very regularly about One Big Beautiful Bill. So things could change. Nothing is necessarily 100% locked in until we hit that July 1 date. So the information that we're talking about now can change. The best thing to do is to keep an eye on our website. So on our UNR website, under the financial aid page, you can even just search One Big Beautiful Bill or OE3, you'll be able to find all of the information there. This is going to be up to date. We try to get it updated, honestly, very rapidly as changes occur. But of course, we also do have links to the actual OE3 site, so you're able to view those changes live before essentially finding out about that information as well. So this is going to be your best source moving forward to make sure that you are up to date with all of the changes when it comes to OE3. So to give you a bit of a preview of what we're going to be talking about today, we are going to be talking about really these four topics. So number one, direct, unsubsidized, and subsidized student loans. We're going to be talking about parent plus loans and the changes within that. This is where we're going to see a lot of the changes when it comes to undergraduate students. And Jeff will be diving into this in a bit. The lifetime maximum loan limit and how that will be changing, as well as what will happen with the less than full-time annual limit. All right, so when it comes to One Big Beautiful Bill, you'll see, and we're going to do kind of an activity where you'll be able to figure out, am I considered a legacy student? So that is what we're going to check on in a second. Or am I following the new rules? So we're just going to refer to them as our new rules that students will need to follow. So you can read it here of all new and current students who have not borrowed a federal direct loan prior to July 1st, so this July, for a program that they're actively enrolled in, at the university specifically, as of June 30th, are subject to the new federal rules. Keeping in mind, this is federal, so every institution is dealing with this, but that's how we define a new student. So if you move to another institution this fall, then you are considered a new student. If you're staying here, you're continuing with your program, whether you change your major or not, you're still getting your bachelor's degree, you're going to be not considered a new student, you're going to be a legacy student, as we'll talk about. So this is how we are defining those new rules. You're subject to those. And then we have legacy students. So legacy students are current University of Nevada students who have borrowed a federal direct loan or whose parents have borrowed a federal direct parent plus loan at any point in time prior to July 1st for a program they're already enrolled in. That's how you know that you're a legacy student. So I imagine many of you could fall into that area of being a legacy student if you have taken out any type of direct loan in the past. If not, then you would be considered a new student. So some of our legacy provisions, which you'll be able to see up here. There is going to be a calculation essentially to determine the length of your legacy status. It's not something where you're locked in as legacy forever until the end of your program and you graduate. The legacy status will last essentially up to 3 years. The university, there's a big kind of calculation that comes into that. We are going to work and notify all of our students if you're going to be considered a legacy student or if you're subjected to the new rules. So you're going to be essentially notified if you are, and then how much you have, how much time you have. No more than, you know, it's not going to be any longer than 3 years. So essentially, you'll be notified on that. If you have withdrawn from the university or you cease enrollment, that also forfeits your legacy. And you are not able to just, if you are legacy, you cannot like forfeit it and then become a new student as well. Your legacy, your legacy. So how we determine that is, are you a student currently enrolled at the university? The answer is yes. If you have received a direct loan, or if you had, if your parent took out a parent plus loan as well for a program honor before June 30th, the answer is yes. And you are eligible for what they call the interim exception. So those new, you'll follow the legacy provision. And then for how long, you'll see some information there. So up to 3 years. And if not, then you would be considered new borrower. All right, so now I'm going to pass it over to Jeff, who's going to kind of dive into the specifics of what that looks like for these changes.
Thank you.
go back one slide? I'm as quick as you guys right now. Does anyone know the maximum amount of federal loans a new undergraduate freshman can take out in their first year of college? What's the maximum for nationwide?
First year loans.
First year loans. When you do your FAFSA, you get a loan offered out to you, how much is that? There's a cap, an annual limit. $5,500, okay? If you didn't know that already, nationwide there's annual caps for federal aid, specifically with subsidized and unsubsidized loan. This next chart that Liz is gonna show you is gonna show you the current caps as they stand today pre-OB3 or the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, okay? If you are indicated as a legacy student, you're gonna maintain this same exact loan eligibility. The good news is when it comes to undergraduate students, your direct loans that you're offered out by doing your FAFSA each year, there are no changes with the new rules. Okay? So those direct loan caps of $5,500 for our dependent freshmen, up to that $7,500 for those dependent freshmen, that is going to be maintained the same going from this old rule to this new rule. So no change for you. That's great. Okay? I will say a lot of the changes that's coming through OB3, let's be reviewing that. Is really impacting our graduate population, but there are some significant things happening at both the graduate and undergraduate level. Underneath this chart, you'll see it says aggregate loan limits. That's just representing the maximum amount of loans you can take out through your undergraduate career. So each year you borrow your loan, that stacks up, that aggregates, and then that aggregate limit for a year is $31,000. Those aggregate limits are also maintaining the same between the old rules. This next slide is just showing the new rules. Again, it's the exact same chart, no changes there for subsidized, unsubsidized, maximum loan eligibility for the year. Okay. The big change for loans for the undergraduate students really comes with Parent Plus Loan. Okay. The Parent Plus Loan is a loan that, as a dependent student, meaning you have to put your parents on your FAFSA every year, your parents are allowed to borrow loans on your behalf, and it's their debt, not the student's debt. So obviously $5,500, if that's your only resource to go to school, that's not going to cut it. So students have the option to have their parent apply for a Parent Plus Loan to get to that finish line for paying for school. Okay? With the current regulations, freshmen, sophomore, juniors who are dependent can have their parents apply for a Plus Loan. That's in their name, it's not guaranteed. It's based off of their credit history, but if they're approved, right now they can take as much unsubsidized loan as they want to help their student get through school for that year, up to their cost of attendance, which is essentially the maximum eligibility set for each student on each campus for federal loans or aid in general. That cost of attendance, just briefly so I don't give you schooling on financial aid, represents your direct costs of like tuition and fees, things you pay directly to the school, but also indirect costs that students may face, like books, supplies, personal expenses, transportation to and from school. Okay, so right now that's a great resource because there is no limit for parents to take that out. They can go all up to their cost of attendance for their student. Okay, there's no aggregate limits on there, so parents can go into debt as much as they want with the Parent Plus Loan current. Okay. What's changing going into the new rules, if you're not a legacy student who's maintaining that eligibility, is the Parent Plus Loan now has an annual cap of $20,000, and it's not just the student's cost of attendance. So nationwide, depending on what school you're going to, if your parent were to apply for a Plus Loan, and your cost of attendance at that school is, let's say, $40,000, they're being stopped at $20,000. That is a new regulation. Okay? There's also a new aggregate loan limit for Parent Plus Loans, which have not been there before. That's $65,500 per student. Okay? So what that means is, let's say you have one parent apply for a Plus Loan 1 year for you, and you have another parent apply for a Plus Loan another year. Their Plus Loans in combination will add up to that $65,500. So if you do the math, if a student is relying on a Parent Plus Loan, if they take out the max of $20,000 each year, that senior year, that four-year degree, they're going to get cut short. Okay? And that's the reality we're at right now. Okay? That
is new rules. Again, if you are a legacy student, your parents can still borrow up to cost of attendance to your legacy provision. Okay? Some additional things that I want to make sure we're aware of. The new lifetime maximum loan limit, if you're interested in going to grad school or med school, something like that, you want to pay attention to this. This is an entirely new policy for federal loans. This did not exist before. Before, we've had aggregate loan limits, which are those per your undergrad degree, you can take up to 37,000, things like that. The nice thing about those standard aggregate limits is if you were to pay those back or you grant to some forgiveness program, you now have created more space to keep borrowing through your program. This new lifetime maximum loan limit is without regard to repayment, okay? So what it's basically saying is in your entire lifetime of going through undergraduate, graduate, med school, if you ever borrow $257,500 in federal loans under your name, as you get it back, you are stopped. Okay? That is the cease and desist. You are done. Okay? That is brand new. That is going to impact students effective July 1. But this is only for the people under those new rules. If you are in the legacy provision, then this doesn't go, this isn't affecting you until your legacy provision expires. You're no longer a legacy student. Okay? As an undergrad, you don't need to worry about this right now because there's no way you can get to that amount based off the current aggregate limits. But that's something to keep in mind if you are borrowing in your undergrad. That's going to follow you into your grad program and into your med school program. Okay? All right, the big one. This is probably going to be our biggest challenge for our undergraduate students. Right now, as a student, you have to enroll at least half time to even be eligible for a loan to begin with. Half time is 6 credits, okay, for undergrad students. At half time, a student is entitled to all of their loan amount, so that's that full $5,500 I talked about for freshmen. They can take that full amount, whether they're in 6 credits or 21 credits. Once you hit 6 credits, you just have access to the whole amount, okay? As long as it fits in your cost of attendance. Moving forward, if you are enrolled below federal full-time, which is 12 credits, that loan will now be prorated based off your credits. Okay? So effective this fall for all students, whether you're a legacy or a new student, okay, this impacts you. Students will see less loans coming their way if they're not in 12 or more credits. The main concern I had is obviously our part-time students, but there are no federal accommodations for like DRC students. So this is going to be a big impact on those students because they are used to taking less than full-time loads, and now their loans will reflect that, which is going to be big for them. Okay. The other thing you want to also understand is at the time of disbursement, we're going to evaluate your loan eligibility. So if you're a full-time student and it's August and you're taking 12, 15 credits hopefully, and we disperse your loan at the full amount you're eligible for that semester, and then you decide to drop a class at any point in the semester, whether it's before the 100% refund date or later in the semester when you're getting a W and still paying for that class, if you drop below 12 credits, when we do a future loan disbursement in that year, usually that spring semester, we actually have to adjust your spring loan to reflect that drop in credits from fall. That's a big change. Students are used to being able to drop their classes after the 100% refund date with no specific impact right away to their loans, and they still get their full loan in the spring. So just know, full-time enrollment is needed to access your full eligibility. There's also changes to repayment plans of loans. We're not going to spend too much time on this. There is more information on the website. But to kind of summarize those changes, for any student that borrows a loan after July 1, whether you've had loans in the past or not, you are subject to the new repayment policies. Okay? So there's two new repayment plans. If you're a student who's borrowed loans in the past and never take out future loans starting July 1 forward, then you can maintain their current federal repayment plans. Okay? Cool. Just a second. summarize, we went over direct sub, unsub loans, those annual loan limits, those aggregate limits, there's no changes there. Okay, that's staying the same. Parent plus loan, they now have an annual cap of 20,000, and then a lifetime cap over an aggregate cap of 65,500. Also, the maximum loan limit for your lifetime of borrowing loans, there's a new cap that exists that didn't exist before, that includes undergraduate, graduate, professional degrees. That cap is 257,500. And then a big, big change for undergrad is if you are not full-time, you will receive less loans. Okay? Cool. That is our presentation. Do we have questions?
Do you have any questions? Senator Johnson, the Senator Horst.
Great presentation, by the way. I'm just more curious if this can be sent out to us, this presentation.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Oh, we also have, we also have handouts, and it's this exact presentation, but in a nice little handout. And so we brought a bunch of copies, so hopefully we didn't throw these for no reason, so please take them.
Okay. Senator Horst.
Yeah, so we focused on loan changes. For undergraduate students, there are changes to Pell Grant. The amounts have not changed. The eligibility requirements, for the most part, have not changed. The biggest thing that you're gonna see, which impacts a small population of students, is that students who, in the past, if you had Pell Grant only, plus merit-based scholarships or something like that, usually are impacted to that. And you're at your cost of attendance, which represents your threshold for receiving aid. Pell Grant is an entitlement grant, and we used to be able to award above cost of attendance if all the rest of your aid was non-need-based aid. The change now is if you're a student who is awarded fully to your cost of attendance or more, then you are not entitled to Pell Grant anymore. Okay? So if you're receiving like scholarships all the way to your cost of attendance, the caveat to that is, the rule is, if you're at or above cost of attendance. So technically, if you're $1 below cost of attendance with scholarships, you're entitled to your entire program to go above cost of attendance. So again, we didn't bring that up because we have ways to make sure that is not impacting too many students. Because it is that $1 goal.
Do we have any other questions? Senator Lawson?
Thank you. I have a question for Margaret. Is there any change to the Millennium Scholarship?
We have not heard of any changes to Millennium.
Parliamentarian Strabala?
Hey, just a confirmation question. You said legacies last for 3 years?
Up to is the key.
Up to 3 years, so that includes going into graduate?
No, so once you change, once you graduate, then you your legacy expires. So once you cease enrollment in the current program you're in, your legacy expires automatically. So whichever is less, you either graduate sooner or the 3 years.
Okay. Senator Horvath to Senator Johnson.
So just one question. So does any of these changes impact the TAC Promise scholarships?
We do not see any changes to our TAC Promise Plus currently.
Senator Johnson?
Because it's based off of TAC.
So I know you are like a new student once you enroll into a new program. Does that look the same way for enrolling in a minor along that?
So the great thing about being an undergrad versus a grad is that they're allowing students to switch majors and not count that as a change of program. That's different for our grad students. So as long as you are enrolled in a bachelor's degree program, switching a program means you're applying to a whole different type of degree. So if you're going from bachelor's to master's. Or if you're coming from an associate's to a bachelor's, you would be considered a new student because you've transferred schools.
Do you have any other questions at this time? All right, thank you very much.
Fire.
Moving back up to agenda item 7, receipts of petitions and correspondence to the Senate, I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda items 7A through E through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Evans, there's a second.
Second.
Second by Senator Barris, is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, those receipts have been approved. Moving down to agenda item 11, motions to fast track appointments. I will read the fast track memo as follows. Speaker Issa and members of the 94th Senate, I am honored to present the nominations of the following individuals for their respective offices. Nomination of Ms. Madison Atkinson for the position of Chief of Staff. Nomination of Mr. Troy Barrera for the position of Director of Executive Outreach. Nomination of Ms. Jordan Brown for the position of Director of Campus Wellness. Nomination of Ms. Kendra Cook for the position of Director of Sustainability. Nomination of Ms. Kira Mendoza to the position of Director of Campus and Public Relations. Additionally, to ensure that the Cabinet is given sufficient time to hire for their respective departments prior to the June ASUN retreat, I am requesting that these nominations be fast-tracked through the Senate. With highest regards, Dylan Moss. With that being said, I am seeking a motion to fast-track agenda items 11A through E through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Senator Barris, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Schurschel, is there any dissent? See no dissent, those nominees have been fast-tracked. Moving down to agenda item 12, approval of appointments of senators and ASUN officials, beginning with nominee for Chief of Staff, Ms. Maddie Atkinson.
Last week, we've got memos to read, so I've just got a short something to read about Ms. Madison Atkinson. We are excited to be nominating Madison Atkinson tonight for the position of Chief of Staff. Madison Atkinson is a hardworking and dedicated public servant who is deeply committed to serving our students. Beginning her journey in the ASUN Senate, she has consistently demonstrated a strong drive and passion not only for advocating on behalf of our students, but also for training and developing the next generation of leaders of this university. Madison will work diligently to help the internship program thrive while serving as a valuable resource not only to the executive branch, but to every member of the association. Thank you.
As with the nominations last meeting, you'll have 5 minutes to present, followed by 5 minutes of questioning and unlimited debate. You may begin whenever you wish.
To our community, and that I think will lead to my next point, retention. As we all
all know Chief of Staff Dietrich set a really great example of retention, and I want to continue that. And I think having sustainable leadership will continue that retention in the 95th session. But I also want to reach new demographics, see how we can connect the internship, make it more accessible for commuter students and for other students who are not just freshmen. And then a more personal like project, I guess, is a Healthy Nevada. The biggest one I'm passionate about is expanding the knowledge and access to sexual health resources on campus. I want to see how we can remove the taboo of sexual health on public campuses and in general. And then this is my timeline. Please see my portfolio for a full timeline. I'm also happy to answer any questions about this. But this first month, May through June, we're going to be doing the 93rd session and then begin planning marketing and meeting with internship coordinators. And then over the summer, it's program development, syllabus creation, marketing development, and how we're going to reach a wide variety of students. And then August and September is a big kickoff for everything, program promotion, informative sessions, sending out applications. On here, I did put the offer notification and the acceptance deadlines. That is like the end date, but it could be moved up. Again, we'll keep you all posted on how that is looking as we get closer. But August and September is really just conducting interviews, sending out offer letters, and trying to get people to apply. And then these are my roles. Again, I'm happy to go more in depth on these, and they're also in my portfolio too. It's just a quick summary. But Assistant President Moss creating the exec internship and then the ASUN internship. For the ASUN internship, I really want to focus on equitable, unbiased, and goal-driven admissions, and then also keeping open communication with interns and open communication with President Moss, and then improving the needs of Pres Cal and making sure we're communicating with informed and collaborative communication sessions. I'm happy to go over any of those too. I don't have any left. So, thank you.
Do we have any questions for Ms. Atkinson at this time, Senator Barris?
I have two, is that okay?
Yep.
Alrighty, Maddie, it's great to see you here again. Definitely miss you though. My first question for you tonight is, what does running the internship coordination committee look like for you? Ensuring high retention in our program and making sure interns understand your resource for them to go to.
Yeah, for the first part, what it means to me, I applied for the internship and I got the interview, but I was a commuter student. I lived 20 to 30 minutes away depending on traffic. And so giving up that time where I could be working or studying was really hard for me. And so the internship for me is really, how can we make this more accessible for students who are commuters or who maybe came from out of state and don't see themselves fitting in on this campus? How can we make this home for them? Because I definitely found home in ASUN, and I want to make sure freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors can find home in ASUN. And then could you repeat the second part of the question?
Yeah, of course. And then ensuring high retention in our internship program, making sure interns understand you're a resource for them to go to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think open communication at all times, I don't think there's a dumb question. And so making sure that that's a standard, like, you know, any question is welcome, any concern is welcome, creating a space that students feel like they can be students, they can learn, but they can also help others learn too. You know, it's a really big teaching environment.
And then my second question for you is, when seeking applicants in the ASUN internship program, how are you going to foster diversity within the program, ensuring we get a large group of students from all different backgrounds?
Yeah, absolutely. I think spreading out marketing, finding new ways that we can market to a wide variety of students, looking at demographics from the previous sessions. And then also when we get applications and interviews, looking at strengths and ways they could grow. How can we maybe put somebody who is really strong in one area with somebody who needs to grow in that area? Kind of thing. How can we celebrate strengths and then encourage growth?
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions at this time? All right. Seeing no further questions, we'll now move on to a general debate period. It's been customary for the body to consider the character, professional competence, physical or mental health, or other matters permissible under NRS 241-033. You may stay or leave the room if you wish. Under NRS 241-031, the election may not be closed. When the body has concluded its deliberations, it may approve the nominations, reject the nomination, or take no action. Do we have any points of debate at this time? Senator Barris.
Senator Barris, for the record, I really enjoyed working with Ms. Atkinson in the 93rd Senate session. She was an incredible senator. She was always super passionate about the goals and initiatives, and she seemed really willing to work on pieces with me in the 93rd, so I can always appreciate her for that. As for the questions I asked her tonight, I think she answered them rather well, and I think that she would be an incredible head of the internship coordination committee, and I think that she would do an incredible job as chief of staff, so she will be getting my vote tonight. Thank you.
Do we have any other points of discussion at this time? Senator Saporito?
Senator Saporito, for the record, I wanted to echo Senator Barris' words. Madison Atkinson is my vice chair for the special committee last session. One word I can describe, she did an incredible work ethic. All the initiatives that we were trying to do last session, she would have been able at any time to sign up Zoom meetings, talking, sign up budgets for hours on end. So once you put some mind to it, I know she could accomplish a lot. So I actually really enjoyed this session.
Do you have any other points of discussion at this time? Seeing no further points of discussion, we'll be now moving on to a vote. All those in favor of the nominee, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oy. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that nominee has been confirmed. Moving down to agenda item 12B, Director of Executive Outreach. I will get that. One moment.
Shore Barrera for the position of Director of Executive Outreach. During the 93rd session, Shore has served as an event program and has been actively involved in a wide range of student clubs and organizations across campus. He brings a unique and valuable perspective to this role, along with a strong commitment to service. Shore will work diligently to create meaningful opportunities for officers to grow and develop, while also expanding outreach efforts to better engage every student on this campus. Thank you.
As with other presentations, you have 5 minutes to present, followed by 5 minutes of questioning and then unlimited debate. You may begin whenever you wish.
Hello, everyone. I'm Troy Pereira, and I'm very excited to be going for Director of Executive Outreach today. A little bit about me. I'm a journalism major, and I'm minoring in business administration and public health. I've been a programmer since January 2025, and before that, I was a program intern. I'm a first-generation college student, proudly in the TRIO program. I'm also a resident assistant in one of the dorms here on campus. On top of that, I'm the Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for PRSSA, which is the Public Relations Student Society of America. And I'm a SkillsUSA National Facilitator, and if I have the time, I'll share the relevancy of that at the end. Here's a few things that fill my cup: the people, the places, and even the pets that make me happy and show me love and keep me sane with everything I have going on, and I just wanted to take a second to highlight my support. Now, my goals for the 94th, first, promote accessibility. Second, enhance student voices and maximize the budget. How I plan to promote accessibility, first, through an Ask Us Anything Hour. So this would be an opportunity for officers in the association to table. I'm thinking like once a week in the KC, sharing updates about ASUN, and then answering any questions that students might have, whether that be about campus life, ASUN, anything else. And then also support the We Are Nevada Feedback Friday. This is something that Dylan and Luke did during the campaign and something that they promised to continue, so I want to hold them accountable to that and also assist them in creating that content every week. How I plan to enhance student voices, I was thinking of doing this through weekly student advisory boards. The idea behind this is getting 6 to 12 students per board. Some of the suggestions that were on the DEO application were professional development, affordable housing, and power-based violence, but I think there's also other great ones. I think we could focus on different cultural groups. We can work with campus groups such as the Black Student Organization to create a Black Student Advisory Board. We could work with the Queer Student Union to create a Queer Student Advisory Board and the Multicultural Center. And then I also think it'd be great Director to have advisory boards for students in different geographical locations, like out-of-state students, Las Vegas students, and then specifically California out-of-state students. And the idea behind this is that the DEO, the Chief of Staff, President, Vice President, would set aside a time every single week, so maybe that's like Mondays at 5 p.m., and then we just cycle through those advisory boards. And then maximize the budget. I know you all do something similar to this in Senate, but I think an officer tracker for all of ASU and officers would be really beneficial. This would just be simply a form that officers fill out every week, and then, especially with the website being revamped, there might be an actual option to do this, update it every time an officer fills out the form. This is just a great way to hold officers accountable and then show the student body what y'all are up to and how y'all are maximizing the hours that you're paid for every week, and then potentially adding on some feedback forms to that. For the retreat, I really view the retreat as a groundwork for a successful session. So some ideas that I have for the retreat, but I think some of those have also been used in the past. First, breakout groups. So breaking up and dividing different departments and your individual committees and making you all up so that you can become more comfortable with one another. Intentional hikes. I know that we like the hike next year. I think it'd be great if we could have more hikes and add some intentionality behind it, whether that's a goal to be accomplished or like some kind of prize at the end, whatever that looks like. And then collaboration huddles. I think it's great when departments and committees can get together and talk about how they can support each other and how they can maximize their experience at officers and do as much as they can for the students they serve. And then these are some things that I wanted to pull from last week's Senate meeting that really stuck with me. When Director Sanchez shared that he wants to educate officers, I think there's great work that we can do at retreat to make that possible. And I think we can take it further than just a presentation that might not be remembered, but turn it into an experience that's very memorable. And then in turn, that'll make it easier for Director Sanchez moving forward. Senator Barris and Director Munoz had a conversation about representation in event planning. And I think if we work together to build those relationships and collaboration early on, then there can be that representation, and programmers can go and talk to anyone in the association and gain another perspective. And that goes hand in hand with Director Hatch talking about partnership throughout the legislative session. I would love for Director Hatch and her department to feel supported by us as officers and for us to feel supported through the work they do in the legislative session. And that little thing at the bottom just says, through building the groundwork, we can support each other to achieve our goals as a connected association. And then last slide, at my facilitator training a few weeks ago for Skills USA, something that stuck with me is that the facile and facilitation means easy, or to make easy, and that's what my goal is with the retreat, and that's what I'm going to challenge myself to do more than just schedule and plan a retreat, but create an opportunity for officers to grow, grow as officers, grow as individuals, and to make the most out of their experience, and to do so in a way that's easy for officers. And yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Do we have any questions at this time? Senator Barris and Senator Schurchel.
Senator Barris, for the record, thank you so much for your presentation. I was loving seeing Skills USA brought up as a former Nevada State champion myself. But my question is tonight is, how do you plan to support the Vice President planning events such as Block Party, Pause and Play, et cetera, to ensure continued engagement with our student body?
I think my experience as an event programmer and before that for an intern would be very helpful. Just providing support, providing my own input and my own experiences, recognizing those worked for me in the past and what hasn't, to make the most out of those experiences. I understand that working with the Vice President, the President, and the Chief of Staff, I'm the only programmer in there. Everyone else in the senators, so I understand that my experience will be very helpful to that.
Senator Schurchel.
Senator Schurchel, for the record, thank you so much for your presentation, Fred. I just had a question about that form that you were talking about having officers fill out. Is that something you see for everyone in ASUN, or is that just for the like executive, like press club kind of people? And if it was everyone, is it like everyone, or like just like ADs, directors, that kind of
thing? I see it ideally for every officer, considering that the students are paying all of us, so I think they have a right to know what we're doing, what we're up to, and how we're making the most out of the funds that they're paying us to do the work that we're doing. So ideally, everyone,
Parliamentarian Strabal.
Parliamentarian Strabal, for the record. I just have one question. Oh, well, thank you for your presentation. It was fantastic. I have just one question. How do you intend to promote accessibility, but not only promote accessibility, but carry it out?
I think through what I had talked about in my presentation about accessibility, I guess is like how I would plan on kind of carrying that out. I want students to know what's going on in ASUN, and I want to ensure that we're being as accessible as possible. I think that that forum is a good way to do that, but I also think it's about just reminding officers in ASUN why we're here, and kind of just, I guess, being as in touch and as in contact with the student body as we can.
Senator Lawson?
Senator Lawson, so back to your forum. Do you want us to talk about what we're using the money we're paid? What we're using that money for? Like in our lives? Or what's kind of like your idea?
No, just, just the work that you're doing in ASUN. So, for example, for you could say, this week I attended my committee meeting and I went to Senate and I did this for my college. Stuff like that. So what you're doing as an officer, just explain.
A follow-up? Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Follow-up question. How do this be different than the outreach form that's already floated with us?
I guess it would be pretty similar, but I know that when I was in the executive branch as a programmer, I never filled out that form. So from my understanding, it's just the Senate that does that. So it kind of doesn't incorporate everybody, but the student body kind of breaks into what everyone is doing, even if you're not like in the Senate with the meetings being recorded every week. So I think it would just be a way to bring all of the ASUN and bring accessibility from all officers to all students.
Parliamentarian Strabala.
Parliamentarian Strabala, for the record. This may seem like a dumb question, but when you mean accessibility, are you intending it like transparency? Or
yeah.
Does accessibility to you mean like accessibility, like an interpreter, something like that? Because I just want to clarify,
yes.
So I understand what you mean.
No, that's a good question. To me, transparency means that we have the resources out there. Right? You can find the meeting minutes on the ASUN website if you want. You can find stuff on the social media if you want. But accessibility is working to like really get out there more and explain to the student body what we're doing, which is why I think stuff like the Ask Us Anything Hour and then working on a social media page that's heavily followed the We Are Nevada account to explain what's going on in the association will be helpful, and then hopefully we'll be able to guide them to those resources that we have on the ASUN website and potential resources we'll have, such as the officer tracker.
Do you have any more questions at this time? All right, thank you very much. It has been customary for the body to consider the character, professional competence, physical or mental health, or other matters principal under NRS 241-033. Under NRS 241-031, the elections may not be closed. When the body concludes deliberations, it may approve the nominee, reject the nominee, or take no action. Do we have any points of debate at this time? Going once, going twice. Seeing no points of debate, we'll now move on to a general vote. All those in favor of the nominee, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, void? Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that nominee has been confirmed.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully
discharge the duties
of the office on which I am about to enter.
Moving down to agenda item 12C, Director of Campus Wellness. I will give that presentation up shortly.
behind me. Back up again. Okay. Alrighty. So, Director of Campus and Campus Wellness, we are pleased to nominate Jordan Brown for the position of Director of Campus Wellness. Jordan currently serves as the Assistant Director of Campus Wellness and is exceptionally well prepared to step into the director role for the 94th session. Through her experience, she has developed a strong understanding of the department's initiatives and has a clear vision for its continued growth. She is a committed and compassionate student leader who will foster meaningful connections across campus while thoughtfully advancing the goals and mission of the Department of Campus Wellness. Thank you.
As with previous presentations, you'll have 5 minutes to present, followed by 5 minutes of questioning and unlimited debate. You may begin whenever you wish.
Hi everyone, I hope you're having a good Wednesday so far. My name is Jordan Brown, and I'm super grateful and honored to be considered as the next director of the Department of Campus Wellness.
The technical issue at the moment. Or we have someone from the cabinet.
And then going over some goals and ideas that I have for this session, I would love to partner with other campus organizations to host wellness events. One of my main ideas is partnering with the Health Center on hosting like tablings or wellness events to promote campus wellness. I'd also love to expand outreach to campus organizations such as FSL and clubs. One thing that me and my director did this past semester was reach out to on-campus FSL organizations. We actually went and presented to them about the Department of Campus Wellness, the Live Well Link, what we offer, and they really appreciated that. So I think expanding to those other organizations and presenting on what we have and what we offer would be super beneficial at helping each student be able to identify what resources that we have for the Department of Campus Wellness. And I would also really love to implement a survey to students to see how they would want to see campus wellness on their campus. And that is all I have. Thank you so much.
Do we have any questions at this time, Senator Barris?
Senator Barris, for the record, I was the senator who authored the bill to reinstate the ASUN Menstrual Hygiene Fund. How do you plan to grow the ASUN Menstrual Hygiene Fund to ensure this initiative stays alive for sessions to come?
I think that's a really good question. I think definitely starting off just promoting fitness wellness in general with tabling events, reaching out to other organizations, I think definitely doing a tabling on that could be super beneficial, just explaining that bill in general and allowing students to get a deeper understanding of what that entails.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions at this time? No. All right, thank you very much. It has been customary for the body to consider the medical professional competence, physical, mental health, or other matters principle under NRS 241-033. Under NRS 241-031, the election may not be closed when the body has concluded its deliberations and may approve the nominee, reject the nominee, or take no action. Do we have any points of debate at this time? And once, going twice. Seeing no points of debate, we shall move on to a vote. All those in favor of the nominee, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oi? Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that nominee has been confirmed. Moving down to agenda item 12D, Director of Sustainability. I'll get that presentation out.
We're excited to nominate Kendra Cook for the position of Director of Sustainability. Kendra has a strong passion for advancing sustainability on our campuses and is more than prepared to step into the role of director this upcoming year. In her current position as Assistant Director, she has developed a deep understanding of the department's operations and has gained a clear grasp of its initiatives and goals. Kendra brings both vision and intention to this role, with well-defined ideas for what the department can achieve and how those initiatives can take shape in the 94th.
As with the other presentations, you'll have 5 minutes to present, followed by 5 minutes of questioning and then unlimited debate. You may begin whenever you wish. I want to make sure that the Department of Sustainability is
Additionally, I want to make sure that all students' concerns about sustainability or environmentally related things are heard. So I will be hosting monthly tabling events, and this could be to educate students on certain things, like, for example, we're working with environmental health and safety at the moment to host plastic bag drives, because plastic bags cannot be recycled, as a lot of you probably know. So currently we are collecting those bags and helping to make paper fish. Last month we also hosted an AI environmental impacts tabling event where students can show their concerns and any other concerns on campus. In the past we've hosted environmental justice town halls, and we plan to do that again in collaboration with as director, I would be a liaison to the UNR Sustainability Committee, Urban Board, RHIAP, and VHNS, and more. Additionally, we will continue the Adopt a Spot monthly trash cleanups in partnership with PTMD, and we will target areas in need based on collaborating with on-campus groups. So whether this is Greek Life or community service groups, we'll make sure that when there is a problem, we'll address it. So whether that is University Terrace or Comstock Drive up where the tailgates are normally held, during the fall semester, and additionally at Dictator Memorial Park, which is our Adopt Spot location. We will continue to collaborate with small local businesses and have monthly farmers markets on campus and invite them to join the PAC Family Business Program. This would benefit both the business and the students, as the students would get discounts if they join the program, and the business would have more awareness in the community. Additionally, we will be partnering with RHMA to increase student education on waste separation and reducing waste. A lot of students don't understand that you can't just throw away your mini fridge or your microwave, and it won't help reduce that waste. Additionally, we're going to encourage environmentally friendly transportation on campus. So whether that is biking, making sure students know that through RTC you get free bus rides anywhere in Reno, and also partnering with PAC Rides to do rides down to the Riverside Farmers Markets on Sundays. And then finally, I want to partner with Environmental Health and Safety to increase on-campus recycling transparency and increase research lab sustainability. So, thank you.
Do we have any questions for the nominee at this time, Senator Barris?
Senator Barris, for record, thank you so much for your presentation. My only question is, how can the Senate Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness best support your initiatives and goals?
Perfect, thank you. Definitely a conversation that I want to have with the committee further on in the session is more collaboration with our event planning. So really making sure that the SSW committee, but also any senators, are coming to our events, supporting us in that engagement way, but also telling your constituents about our events. A lot of people don't know about the Department of Sustainability, so if you can help tell us about them and about our initiatives, that would be great. And again, for the committee, more event planning as well.
Senator Horst.
Senator Horst, for the record, can you expand on the initiatives that you pushed during the 93rd session as assistant director?
Yeah. So last session, one of my biggest things was the Adopt a Spot Monthly Cleanup. So that was my idea as an intern during the 92nd session. And then during the 93rd session, that's when we partnered with the CSE and ASUM to take some of the funding from the last year's budget and put that towards the annual Adopt a Spot Cleanup. So we are paying for this Adopt a Spot, but by doing this, the KTMP is providing us cleanup supplies every monthly cleanup. And we're also giving back to our community and sharing our data of how much trash we picked up in our community service in that way.
Do you have any other questions for the nominee at this time? All right, thank you very much. It's been customary for the body to consider the character, professional competence, physical or mental health, or other matters permissible under NRS 241-033. Under NRS 241-031, the election may not be closed when the body concludes deliberations, may approve the nominee, reject the nominee, or take no action. Do you have any points of debate at this time? Senator Saporito, then Senator Barris.
Senator Saporito, for the record, I believe
Senator Barris?
Senator Barris, for the record, I would just like to echo the sentiments of Senator Saporito. Kendra has an incredible work ethic. I've seen it in Blue Key, I've seen it in ACUN, I've seen it everywhere she goes. She's an incredible person, and I think that she's super passionate about sustainability, and I cannot wait to see the things that she do, because I will be voting yes.
Parliamentarian Strabala, then Senator Horst.
Parliamentarian Strabala. I think Ellen's very clear that she's very nervous and takes a lot of strength to stand up there in front of all of us, especially
how ominous we all look.
And I think sustainability is a very underappreciated position, and she obviously knows a lot about the position and cares about her position, not only for herself and the title, but also for what she's going to
be.
Senator Horst.
Senator Horst, for the record, I've been with her since sophomore year of high school, and I have seen personally how driven she is. I've never met anyone with more work ethic than her. And a lot of the initiatives that she mentioned, I've actually talked to her about freshman year of high school, or freshman year of college, and I'm very glad to see that she's following through, and I think that takes incredible great strength. Thank you.
Do we have any other points of debate at this time? Seeing no further points of debate, we'll now be moving on to a vote. All those in favor of the nominee, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oy. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that nominee has been confirmed. Moving down to agenda item 12E, Director of Campus and Public Relations.
All right, last one for the night, y'all. Thank you so much for your patience as we go through this process. We are pleased to nominate Kira Mendoza for the position of Director of Campus and Public Relations for the 94th session. Having previously served as both the assistant director and director during the 93rd, she's exceptionally well prepared to lead the department into the 94th session. Kira brings valuable experience, institutional knowledge, and a clear vision of the department's future. We are confident in her ability to build on past successes, strengthen campus engagement, and guide the department forward under her leadership. We're excited to see what she does as Director of Campus and Public Relations during the 94th session. Thank you. Collaborated with
Hartford for? I said it in reverse. Okay. The UNR Instagram did the homecoming post for us, not the ISUN one. I actually did two graphics and a video for the UNR Instagram. And then my relationship with Inkblot, I got a lot closer with the head of Inkblot. But that leads me to my goals. I want to set more boundaries with Inkblot. I think that there's problems with miscommunication with ASUN and Inkblot, so I want to make sure that each department knows that they're allowed to have creative freedom to make whatever they want, design whatever they want, but they don't have to. I just think that Inkblot, and we assume that Inkblot should just create everything. That's not true. I also want to make sure there's no mistakes on future posts, because a lot of the times when I don't see them, there are spelling or grammar mistakes. Next, I want to do fireside chats. So basically just bi-weekly or monthly posts with the vice president or president, just talking about bills, accomplishments, events, budget, whatever, for students to have more transparency with what we do. And then I want to do department outreach. So legislating with sustainability or wellness to meet up with like hiking club or climbing club, whatever, and do maybe events or just talk to them what they can see what they want to see from their departments. I also want to do more videographers. I kind of shoved this down people's throats last session because it's really important for the end of your video, just to get archived footage from the whole year and then the students can see what we've been doing. But also for future freshmen, they can see what we've done with those events from programming, idea, wellness, like any department, with archive footage and creating more reels. Because reels tend to do better on the ASU Instagram. Programming actually did a really good job at that last session. There was around 200 to 600 likes on each of them, whereas graphics get around 60 maybe, so yeah. And then here are some things I've done, the Close Home Highlight Post, Homecoming Parade Winners, and this isn't official, it's just kind of a mock-up of what I did for the concert, but yeah, thank you.
Do you have any questions for the nominee at this time, Senator Barrist and Senator Price?
Mr. Speaker, I have two questions. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for your presentation. My first question for you tonight is, how do you plan to market the ASUN to students to make them want to be more engaged with our student government?
I would say, wait, that's really a question. Thank you, by the way. I would say to let them know that we're not here to like steal their money, because that's what they think, right? That's what they all talk about. I want them to know that we're here as a resource for them, you know? I want them to know that. So I think by posting things like transparency or whatever would be good for that, yeah.
All right, Senator Barrist, again, for the record, thank you so much. My second question is, do you see a collaboration in the future to post more transparency towards potential legislative digests within the Senate, so what we potentially vote on and within the Senate, and then budget reviews for what gets passed and what money is being used?
Absolutely. That is something I really want to do this session. Hopefully with the communication coordinators that get passed through, if that happens. I definitely want at least one of them to attend Senate meetings, either weekly or bi-weekly, to see what's happening. I'll also connect with you guys and like meet up and do whatever just to see what's happening. But yes, also I'm very much more than welcome to doing like reposts on the story of senator accounts or whatever. Yeah, thank you.
Senator Price.
Senator Price, for the record, thank you for your presentation. I like what you said about like the Instagram reels. Those were plenty of fun to make. A lot of the ASUN Instagram is comprised of like advertisements though. I was wondering, how do you think that we can showcase the different types of students that we have on our campus and make sure that they're highlighted on our Instagram?
Yeah, so I actually would love to work with more multicultural organizations, clubs, whatever. I want to make sure that IDEA especially gets well connected with them, especially with the club highlights post or even organization highlights post. I want them to feel like they are being represented and seen throughout the school, so I would definitely want to revamp the club's highlights post this session. Yeah.
Parliamentarian Strabala.
Parliamentarian Strahl for the record. Thank you for your presentation. I just have one question. So a lot of the times with the previous directors you've seen up front in your position now, a lot of their main tactics for marketing and getting their events out was working with the PR department. So how do you intend on balancing the waves of events and making sure that every event is seen and none of them are overlooked?
I would say, again, like creating reels is not just for program, but for OTF. I think, and I can also just organize each event if I hear about it. That's what I want to work with the executive department with. I want to make sure I'm hearing about all the events upcoming and maybe doing more reels or talking about it on the Facebook or like whatever. Yeah.
Do you have any more questions for the nominee at this time, Senator Horvath?
Senator Horvath, for the record. So there's about 6,200 more or less fully students in the journalism school. Would you be open to having them help out with videography or any media initiatives or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds amazing to me. It's a little more complicated when it comes to Inkblot, however, because I do know a lot of journalism students work with Inkblot. But I think, yeah, if they want to film a reel or if they want to be highlighted by the ACE Instagram, that I would totally do that.
Do you have any other questions at this time? Thank you very much. It's been customary for the body to consider the character, professional competence, physical or mental health, or other matters permissible under NRS 241-033. Under NRS 241-031, the election may not be closed when the body concludes deliberations and may approve the nominee, reject the nominee, or take no action. Do we have any points of debate at this time? All right, moving on to a vote of the nominees, seeing no debate. All those in favor, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions, oy. Here in the chamber, the ayes have it, and that nominee has been confirmed. Down to agenda item 15A, first reading of legislation, SB 94, an act to approve the budget for fiscal year 2027. I'm seeking a motion to approve agenda item 15A through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Speaker Pro Tempore Evans. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Barris, 30 dissent. Seeing no dissent, the item has been approved for first reading. Moving down to agenda item 17A, referrals to committees. I am seeking a motion to approve agenda item 17A to the Committee on Budget and Finance through unanimous consent.
So moved.
So moved by Senator Barris. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Lawson. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, that piece has been referred to the following committee. Moving up to agenda item 9, reports of the Senate committees, beginning with the Committee on Academics and Student Affairs. Chair Neubel, do you have a report?
Yes, Senator Neubel, for the record. Yesterday I had a meeting with university libraries to start some stuff for the committee. Tomorrow I have a meeting with the committee we just had a presentation from, the liaison for presidential hall life. So anyone is interested in being that liaison, I think it would be good if you came along. And I'm still working on figuring out a time for the first committee meeting. I have 5 out of 7 of you guys who have filled out the one to me. So the two of you who have not, if you could please get on that. Thank you.
Great. Moving down to agenda item 9B, Budget and Finance. Chair Lawson, do you have a report?
Thank you. Senator Lawson, for the record, short report tonight. It looks like we'll be meeting Fridays at 4:30 p.m. For our rest of this semester. We might have to move our first meeting to Saturday due to AE Caucus not being available on Friday. We're still trying to work that out, but our first meeting will be either Friday or Saturday.
All right, moving down to Democratic Civic Engagement, Chair Radke, do you have a report?
All right, hi everyone. So I'm planning on meeting on PCE meeting in person at least once before summer starts. It's looking like the best time that's working right now is Thursday at 6:30. So keep your eyes out in your chat. In this meeting, we're gonna assign liaison positions and we're gonna do vice chair positions. If you're interested in being a vice chair, you're welcome. Please, if you haven't filled out the Wednesday meeting yet, please fill it out, because if Thursday at 6:30 doesn't work, we'll find another time. I've also sent out my bookings page, and it just was pointed out to me that it's 7 a.m., like, or 1 a.m. to 7, so I will change that as soon as possible. And that's for if you need to talk about your liaison positions, your ideas for the committee, or really anything, you can come talk to me.
Moving down to the Committee on Ideas, Senator Castro, do you have a report?
Senator Castro, for the record, I've sent out the one to me. I'm still missing responses from just one of my committee members. If that is you, please fill out the one to me so I can agendize for our first meeting as soon as possible. I'm going to be honest, I'm not prioritizing the notion of us meeting before the summer. I think you all have finals. But if the committee is amenable to such, I would love to meet their liaison. So, for this first meeting, please be prepared with any questions you may have about our liaisons. I've already sent the liaison contact list within the committee group chat. And if you're interested in running for vice chair, please reach out to me so we can discuss the details of the vice chair race and presentation. That's all. Thank you.
Moving down to the Committee on Government Operations, Senator Zuniga, do you have a report?
Yes, Senator Zuniga, for the record, currently still working on that meeting time, looking at Friday late evenings. There's still one person who is not filled out the when to meet, so please fill that out as soon as possible. Also looking to meet before the summer starts, but if that does not work out, simply still more.
Thank you. Moving down to the Committee on SSW, Senator Barris, do you have a report?
I do. Senator Barris, for the record, I'd first like to congratulate Director Brown and Director Cook on being the Directors of Sustainability and Wellness. But anyways, to my report, SSW will be meeting next week on Friday at 4 p.m. in the Joe Crowley Student Union Room 317. We already have one piece for first reading. We'll assign liaison positions and have vice chair elections. If you're in my committee and interested in being chair of this committee, please send a presentation if you'd like, but of course, you could just not have one at all. So thank you. Reach out.
Moving down to the Special Committee on Food and Security, Senator Saporito. Terrence Travala, do you have a report?
No report this
time. Speaker Pro Tempore Evans, do you have a report?
Yeah. Speaker Pro Tempore Evans, for the record. Hi, everyone. For
my pro tempore report. I drafted emails to ASUN and CSE persons for a meeting, and then I messed up. I forgot to send them. So sorry, Moss. Sorry, Luis. But I've sent them out now. We'll be meeting, discussing things about legislative internship, the goals, the operations, what went well, what didn't, and I'll keep everybody updated, and I'll talk about it next meeting about what we talked about. So, thank you.
Moving on to myself, I have a brief report. So, currently, I'm working to schedule our first committee on oversight meeting as soon as possible. We're still working on scheduling. A few senators have not yet submitted their when to meet. You know who you are. So please complete that at your earliest convenience so we can move forward with scheduling. And again, I'm gonna repeat something I said during my first report. With regard to outreach, this is a reminder that outreach is due by the end of our dead day Senate meeting. This will be the only outreach period for this semester, and there will be no outreach period over the summer. However, any outreach completed over the summer will count towards your first outreach period for the fall 2026 semester. If you have any questions or need clarification, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. Do we have any questions regarding agenda items 9A through J at this time? No? All right. Moving down to agenda item 10, reports of the Secretary's office. Do y'all have a report at this time?
No report at this time.
All right, thank you. All right. Moving down to agenda item 19C, Senate Committee Changes and Additions. Do we have any changes and additions at this time? Senator Lawson?
Senator Lawson, for the record. I move to remove myself from the committee of IDEA.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Schershel. Is there any dissent? Senator Dissent, you've been removed from the following committees. Do we have any other changes and additions at this time? Senator Potter?
I move to place myself on the Committee of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness, and the Committee of Academic and Student Affairs for unanimous consent.
Sorry, ASA is full.
All two.
Sorry, point of clarification, Senator Rivers, I sent that DM to you. You don't have to do that anymore. So, do we have any other changes and additions at this time?
Yes. I move to place myself in the Committee of Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness, and the Committee of Budget and Finance.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Barris. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, you've been placed on the following committees. Do we have any other changes and additions at this time? Senator Rivers?
I move to remove myself from the Committee on Safety.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Schershel. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, you've been removed from the following committee. Do we have any other committee changes in additions at this time? Seeing none, we'll move down to agenda item 19D, Senator Reports. Do we have any reports at this time, Senator Barris?
All right, Senator Barris, for record. Hello, everyone. Long time no see. Recently, I've been having conversations with Senator Castro and Director Hatch on a piece I'm co-writing, SR 94, a resolution supporting Nevada ballot question 6. Senator Castro and I both agreed this is something we need to have support for, as abortion access is important to continue to have in Nevada. This question is phrased, should the Nevada Constitution be amended to create an individual's fundamental right to an abortion without interference by state or local governments whenever abortion is performed by a qualified healthcare professional until fetal viability, or when necessary to protect the health or life of a pregnant individual at any point during the pregnancy? On November 5th of 2024, Nevada voters passed question 6 by 64.36%. This initiated constitutional amendments need to be approved by two even number election years in Nevada. Question 6 will need to be passed again in order the voters for this initiative go into effect. So if you have any questions or you'd like to help with these, let me know. Thank you.
Do we have any other senator reports at this time? Senator Johnson.
Hey, Senators. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. I recently had a meeting with Speaker Issa on Monday to go over my goals and things that I want to get started for this session. I had realized that I kept some of these goals and ideas internalized when I started in the 93rd. I think transparency for everyone at the Senate table is important so we can collaboratively work together on things that we want to improve on this campus. I had a meeting about 3 weeks ago with Assistant Dean for the College of Engineering, Candace Bauer, where we had started to create a relationship and discuss where I see improvements in the College of Engineering and where she and Jean Tom Weller want to see the college go within the next 5 to 10 years. Hoping to meet with Dean Weller soon to have a similar conversation with him. I had talked to Speaker Issa about potentially growing the Tahoe campus to now what I understand are classes that are predominantly offered to the Honors College. However, I see an opportunity for incoming students on this campus to potentially take core classes at the Tahoe campus. Allowing those incoming students to get a change of scenery for a semester and allow them to knock off some core classes early. Me, along with Senator Lawson and Senator Strunk, will continue on in hopes to roll out the Student Advisory Board along with Dean Bowers in the fall, which will serve as kind of a student government within the College of Engineering for both undergraduate and graduate students, in hopes to get a better understanding of what struggles students within the College of Engineering may be enduring. And lastly, Senator Banks from the College of Engineering in the 93rd session proposed a bill at the end of the session to establish a club building for clubs a part of the College of Engineering. I hope to continue advocating and supporting this idea, as I will be reaching out to various clubs within the college to gather more information on their needs. Let me know if you guys want to collaborate with any of these ideas, and always feel free to reach out. Thanks.
Do we have any other senator reports at this time? Senator Horst.
Senator Horst, for the record, one of the main points of my platform on running for my position was to help out commuter students. I recently reached out to Director Michelle Horn of Facility Services, Parking, and Transportation Services, and I was unfortunately shot down with my proposal. So I'm looking for senators who have any great ideas with reforming commuter parking on this campus, commuters parking and travel on this campus. I believe it's gotten worse with all of the parking tickets, and I think finding a really good solution is imperative to City Life. Thank you.
Do we have any other senator reports at this time? Senator Horvath and Senator Lawson.
So Senator Horvath, for the record, this morning I had my introductory meeting with the dean of the school, and in today's meeting we discussed some journalism back things, and all of those are all then this fall I plan on introducing a resolution to support some journalism back.
Senator Lawson.
Senator Lawson, for everybody that remembers and people that don't know, last session we had a presentation regarding UNR's work on rebranding. So I was reached out to participate in the university branding listening session. So tomorrow I'll be participating in that and hopefully getting to hear from some of the proposals regarding their new branding ideas. So I'm pretty excited.
Do we have any other reports at this time? Speaker Pro Tem Port Evans.
Speaker Pro Tem Port Evans, for the record. Hey everybody, I hope you're all doing well, studying and getting ready for finals. Just a quick update on the lab coat drive. I placed bins on the third and fourth floor of the DMSC with the permission of Sam DeMuza, who works at the DMSC, and with the help of Dr. Mahoney, the chem lab instructor, emailing chemistry TAs. I was able to collect about 10 lab coats today from the two bins, which is pretty good considering we haven't marketed at all. This was just this week we're doing it at the DMSC. So leading into what I was gonna say as well, during this week and next week, my Senate senators and I will be doing the duties of this lab coat drive. The flyer will get posted on the ASU and Instagram. STEM professors are gonna get emailed, and we'll do everything we can to market it. So let me know if you guys have any questions.
Do we have any other senator reports at this time? Seeing no more reports, we'll move down to agenda item 20, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Senator Radke and Senator Saporito.
Okay, hi guys. Yesterday I went to the University of Nevada the day after Washington County's Commission with President Lawson, Director Hatch, and it was really interesting. We got to hear President Sandoval speak about all the initiatives and projects at UNR, and it was really interesting. I just want to
Senator Saporito.
Hey, everyone. If you guys are free, like, Friday, around 7 p.m., there's a student talk concert happening at the class for one. Very soon, it's going to be very mid. But it's my guitar teacher's last semester here. He's been here for, like, 30 or 40 years. He's retiring. And I think, you know, the group of people really, you know, make me feel good in those warm feelings or whatever. So, yeah.
Do we have any other comments and announcements at this time? All right, seeing none. Moving down to agenda item 21, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Please state your name and position for the record.
Dylan Moss, president of the Associated Students, for the record. I just wanted to come in public comment and give you guys a big thank you for your ongoing collaboration and hard work when it comes to confirming these nominees. I know it's hard to sit through five presentations at a time, back to back. I was in your seat last year, but we ended up getting through it, and I wanted to thank you for your ongoing collaboration with these nominees. We're super excited for the session to come. I'm excited to put the last two on the agenda for y'all next week. And then please have patience for our directors for their subsidiary positions as well. Assistant directors require presentation, so just please be patient as we continue to move forward through all of these onboarding and hiring processes. But very excited. Thank you so much. I think this goes to show how good of a relationship we can have and do already have between our two branches. So I'm very excited. So thank you all.
Do we have any more public comment at this time? All right. Moving down to agenda item 22, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting of the Senate of the Associated Students at 7:48 p.m. in the Read Aloud Senate Chambers and on Zoom.